Lord, help us to commence this morning with hymn 988. Happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat, oh tell me where? Learning, pleasure, wealth and fame, all cry out, it is not here. 988.
Thank you. From God's Word, we'll read the 55th Psalm. Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror have overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them. Even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, Therefore, they fear not God. He hath put his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in thee. May God's blessing rest upon the reading of his holy word of truth. May he help us to bow before his holy throne in prayer. Almighty, holy, sovereign Lord God, give us now a spirit of worship, of praise, of adoration, and of supplication, as we now come into thy unseen presence to worship thee on thy day. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst come and make one of our number as the risen, triumphant Lord and Saviour. May we be conscious of thy presence here today. Give us, Lord, to view something of thy greatness, of thy power, of thy omnipotence, of that fact that thou art indeed the sovereign ruler of the skies. Thou art the great, the mighty God. Thou art the consuming fire. Thou art the judge of all the earth. And yet, Lord, thou art also a God who delights in mercy, who receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Lord, receive us this day as poor sinners and eat with us. We thank thee for thy mercies that bring us into thy house of prayer. And we ask thy richest blessing to rest upon the worship of thy great and holy name this day. And help us, Lord, to worship thee in thankfulness for all thy loving kindness unto us each, thy kindness in providence, our homes, our health and strength, our loved ones, our faculties, our careers, our possessions, a measure of peace and security and prosperity. Lord, may we own our mercies where they come from. Lord, grant that there may be many here that may be able to strike that deeper note of thanksgiving for the mercies that flow through Jesus Christ, for the glorious gospel of God, for salvation by grace, for the work of the Holy Spirit within. So, Lord, may we worship thee in thankfulness for thy great goodness and merciful kindness unto us. We ask, gracious God, that thou wouldst speak to our souls this day, that thou wouldst direct us into thy paths, into the way of holiness. Grant, Lord, that we may know thy presence and thy help, thine aid, and thy blessing. Supply our each and every need. May we be found looking unto Jesus, and Lord, may we lose sight of each other. May we see Jesus only. May we know his smile, his welcome, his blessing. Do pardon and forgive each and every sin. Sprinkle the precious blood of the Lamb of God upon us. And may we know the power, the might, the glorious peace, freedom, and liberty that flows from that precious blood at Calvary. Bless, we pray, this church and people, and watch over them and be with them. Bless thy servants, who thou dost send week by week into this pulpit. And grant thy blessing also in the reading services and in the prayer meetings. And grant, Lord, that thy presence may continue to abide here. Thy richest favour and blessing be bestowed here. May souls be born again here into the fold of God. May saints be edified and confirmed and strengthened in their faith and the work deepened. Bless our beloved friends and brethren, the deacons of this cause, and grant them to know thy help in the office that thou hast called them to. Grant them wisdom and grace and strength and help. Bless each member of this church. May they be a living church, an exercise church. May they be a church guided by thy hand and protected by thy loving care. And Lord, may they grow in grace, and also may they also grow in numbers too. Add unto them those whom thou hast saved eternally by thy grace. And bless each member of this congregation. And grant, Lord, that in thine own time each might know thy richest blessing, the blessings of eternal life, the blessing of knowing Jesus Christ, the blessings of being found in that narrow way which leads to heaven. Be their guide in every peril. Watch them daily, night and day. Keep them, Lord, from wandering and straying. Keep them at thy feet. Keep them in the footsteps of the flock and by the shepherd's tent. Remember those who hope to be joined in holy matrimony in this coming week. We pray for them. And on that occasion, it may be evident that Jesus has been called to that marriage ceremony. May thy servant be helped in conducting that service. And Lord, may they be helped as they make those solemn vows before thee to each other. And then, Lord, may it be proved that Jesus is called to their marriage as they go forth and venture into life. May Jesus himself draw near and go with them and guide them and provide for their every need in life's journey. We pray, Lord, for any here who feel to need thee in any special way, that thou would supply their every need. That need of endurance, that need of submission, that need of guidance to know what way to go. That fear of the Lord to handle matters wisely and rightly, and to deal with others seeking to honour thee. Command deliverances, we pray, for Jacob. Turn back the tide of Satan. Be of any, Lord, who need thee to direct them in the pathway of life. Be with those who are in deep conviction of sin. Bring them, Lord, to view their place in the covenant of grace. Bring many this day from Sinai to Calvary. Proclaim the liberty to the captive. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bring those dead in sin to Sinai, to realize the great magnitude of their sin, to realize a soul that sinneth, it shall die. And cause them to cry to God Almighty for his almighty mercy, love and grace to be bestowed. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst remember the children and the young people. Grant thy blessing in the Sabbath school this afternoon. And may something be sown that will abide all their life through and sustain them to their journey's end and be something to praise thee for in an eternity to come. Do provide for their needs and grant them success as far as is right in thy sight, and open doors for them. Bless those in the midst of life with its burdens, cares, concerns, needs, sorrows and trials, as well as its successes and joys. Lord, do watch over and be with them, and sustain and help them in the journey of life. May they continually look unto Jesus, and be enabled to put thee first, and not to be distracted from that one thing needful, which is, Lord Jesus, to be one with thee. May they be seeking that true happiness that is found in thee, as we've read and sung in our opening hymn. We pray, Lord, for those who are in the evening time of life. Shadows are lengthening, drawing towards its close. Grant, Lord, that grace to bear forth fruit in old age. Grant, Lord, that grace to show a Christ-like spirit in old age, as they handle what they have not had to handle before. Bodily strength decreasing and not returning. Bodily limitations increasing. Weariness and weakness and pain. Bereavement and loneliness and sorrow. But Lord, may they prove at evening time it shall be light. May they be able to look up and see their redemption drawing nigh. May they see, as they anticipate the swellings of Jordan, that the bottom of that river is firm and sure. As they stand upon that rock of ages, even Christ Jesus. Be with any, Lord, who are not here this day, any in sickness. Lord, grant unto them thy healing touch. Or for whatever reason they may be detained from thy house, may they not be detained from thy presence. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst grant thy blessing to rest upon this nation, that thou wouldst turn us back to thee, that thou wouldst give us godly rulers to reign over us, that thou would put forth thy spirit, and grant the revival in this nation, and that returning to the God we have forsaken, that reviving in the house of God, that life, that liberty, that wrestling prayer granted and answered for that godly, gracious increase. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst remember thy gatherings of thy saints up and down our land today and throughout the whole world. Wherever thy people gather, Lord, gather with them. Wherever thy servants labour, work with them. Fill their vessel with the richest treasures of thy gospel. Grant that help to exalt a precious Christ. And Lord, pour out and fill the people, the hearers, with that same treasure. Open now thy precious treasures, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Hymn 605. The just by faith shall live, nor fear the powers of hell. All blessings that a God can give, in Christ most richly dwell. 605.
Thank you.
turn with the Lord's help to the Word of God, the first book of Samuel, the 30th chapter and the 6th verse. It's 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David was greatly distressed. Distressed because of sin. Distressed because he had made a mistake. Distressed because the armies of the Amalekites had come and invaded and burned Ziklag, and carried away captives, those that dwelt there. David was in a time of great distress, and it seemed that he was now at the end. He had endured many trials in that waiting time from when he was anointed king. And he'd come through many trials and dangers and difficulties. But now it seemed he was in a place where he would never recover, because even his friends now, it appeared, were turning to be his enemies. Even those who had gathered with him because of the oppression and the persecution of King Saul, now they were speaking of stoning him. And David was greatly distressed. He was in this position because of unbelief. A few chapters earlier, we find that he said, following a remarkable deliverance of the Lord's hand, I shall what now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There was nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hands. It wasn't the first time he'd gone down to the Philistines for help. But God did not intend David to dwell in the land of the enemies of Israel. God did not intend for David to join their hosts. God intended David to be the anointed king of Israel. And so David must return to Ziklag. had he never left Ziklag. They would not have been defenseless when the armies came upon that city. But now we find David having been forced to leave the Philistine country. Now finds that Ziklag has been burned with fire and the women, including his wives, taken away captives. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him. They blamed David for going down to Achish, king of Gath. But even in that time of great distress, we read, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Even in that day of trouble and distress and fear and danger, it seemed, of his life, he still had the Lord to be his God. God hadn't forsaken him. God hadn't turned his back upon him. God chastened David, but he never rejected him like he rejected King Saul. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He hadn't sought direction, but had relied on carnal reasoning when he went down to the Philistines. But now we find him back in his right mind, seeking the Lord's direction and inquiring whether they should pursue after the Amalekites. David was learning submission to the will of God. And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all." And you can read in the chapter as it progresses, how David did just that. He recovered all that had been lost. And then we find the next chapter, Saul taken out the way, taken into eternity, and David suddenly and perhaps unexpectedly raised to the throne of Israel. It's often darkest just before the dawn. Deliverance was at hand, even though it didn't seem like it. It seemed as far off as ever. In the verse that we have as a text, it seemed it was utterly impossible for David to come upon that throne. But he came there. Because God had intended it. Because God had promised it. If God has promised you something, even though all earth may come against it, it will most surely be performed. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He'd proved the Lord in times of trial and of need in the past. Perhaps his mind went back to when he had to go out alone. And yet not alone before Goliath. And how the Lord guided his hand to defeat that giant. And no doubt that would have been an encouragement to David as he looked back and could say, Lord, thou helpst me there then. Wilt thou not help me now in this trial? Did David go back to when he was in looking after the sheep? And when he had to fight the lions and the bears? And how God protected him from harm and danger and injury when he faced those wild beasts. Here David is facing blows threatening to stone him. But they didn't stone him. They weren't permitted to stone him. Why? Because God Almighty was his defense and his help. Be still, my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence that nothing shake, all now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know the voice that ruled them when he dwelt below. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When the outlook was bad, he looked up. And that is what you have got to do in your pathway this morning. That is what you have got to do in the unknown way as it stretches before you. Look up. You're not going to get any encouragement by looking down. You're not going to get any encouragement by looking within. You're not going to get any encouragement just by concentrating as the devil intends you to do on the magnitude of the trial. Look up. And as you look up by faith, what will you see? God Almighty reigning upon the throne. You go to the last book of the Word of God and you find John on the Isle of Patmos, in that time of great persecution. When the emperor demanded that he be worshipped as a god. And John and others, because they would not worship him as God, were found in that Isle of Patmos, working as slaves in that salt mine. But what do we read in one of those early chapters? When John was working in those salt mines, in great distress, in old age, a door was opened in heaven. And behold, a throne, and one sat upon that throne. He got a glimpse by faith that even in his trial and tribulation, that the throne of God was not vacant, and that God was still upon that throne. Poor trembling child of God, this morning, look up. God is on that throne, reigning and ruling in perfect control of the events of your life. They have not overwhelmed him. And he knows just what he is going to do to bring you out of your distresses. But before he brings you out of them, he's going to teach you some things in those distresses. He's going to show you something of your sinnership. Is that one of your distresses this morning, that your trial has brought up all the scum of your sinful nature to the surface it was hidden before? You thought you were patient, but this trial has proved you to be impatient. You thought you were godly, but this trial has proved you to be ungodly. You thought you had great wisdom, but this trial has brought you to the very end of your wisdom. You thought you once had great faith, but now you seem to be in that place where you have no faith. And you say, can ever God dwell here? May you, like David, be able to encourage yourself this day in the Lord your God. These things have not surprised him. He knew they were there all the time, but you couldn't see it. And one of the reasons he's brought you into your present pathway is to bring you to see them, to bring you to the confession before God, to bring you to that point, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. To bring you to realize you are a great sinner. To bring you to realize that you have need of the Lord Jesus Christ. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And then, may you, like David, be able to encourage yourself in this, your trial. You need the Lord to literally appear for you in a providential way. And it might seem that this morning that all hope is lost. It might seem to you that there is no hope. In fact, others may even have told you there is no hope, that you may as well give up and get used to it and learn to live with it. David, in this verse, seemed to have lost all hope. He seemed to be facing absolute certain death. But he didn't die, did he? And just two chapters later, we find him on the throne of Israel. You know, people don't always get it right, even experts. In your case, they've forgotten that there is a God of miracles, and that God of miracles still lives. The age of miracles has not passed. And God is well able to deliver you if it be his holy will. So what have you got to do? Hope thou in God. Go on. Don't give up. Go on. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. We read it this morning. You read many of those Psalms of David came out of trials and tribulations and distress is just like the one in our text this morning. And again, that was one of the reasons David was brought into them, to be a help to the people of God. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, whatever that burden is. And yes, it can include a providential burden. It can include a providential trial. It's not excluded. God is still able, if it is his will, to deliver you. He is able to do for you more than you can think. He is able to do for you that very thing that you think is impossible and have been told is impossible. That you say to me this morning, how do I know it's his will? Well, you have to leave that with God. But even cast that upon the Lord. And ask him to give you submission and patience to whatever his will is. And if it is not, and if it is not his will to deliver you, ask him instead to make himself so precious to you that you are enabled to go on, knowing that what his will for you must surely best be. What his wisdom sees most fit must be surely best for thee. Ask God to give you that grace to submit. And to give you that grace to encourage yourself in him and in him alone. See, all the while you rebel, all the while you kick, all the while you fight, what does it do? Does it do any good? Satan stirs you up. But here's his word to you. On the one hand, the word is this: hope thou in God, and you won't hope in vain. But also it's this: be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You've got to be still. That means you've got to stop fighting. It means you've got to stop fretting. You've got to stop complaining. And you've got to patiently wait for God to work. Carry on praying. Carry on knocking. Carry on looking. Carry on ask God to give you that grace and that help and that strength that you need to endure. And you'll prove that God is able. And not only will you prove God is able, you'll prove God is willing too. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Whatever your distress, whatever your need, God is greater than your need. God is able to deliver. God is able to support and to help before it is his will to deliver you. Then trust in him. Depend upon him. Pour out your heart before him. Prove that the God of Jacob still lives. Prove that the God of David still lives. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What about those of you who fear the unknown future? Those of you who are at some great crossroad in your life, Those of you who have got a path to take, a decision to be made, you don't know what the right course is, and you know that it will have an effect on your life for the rest of it. You do not have, you feel, the wisdom that you need, and you come into the Lord's house this morning with many fears and tremblings. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You are at that point of which it was said of the children of Israel when they came to Jordan. Ye have not passed this way heretofore. But friends, God had. And God performed that mighty miracle in dividing the river of Jordan. No one drowned in that river, did they? They all got safely over. They all entered that promised land. So look unto him. Ask him to show you the way, and he will. Ask him to open the door, and he will. Above all, ask him to give you his presence and his blessing. Ask him that if his presence go not with you, then you will not be carried up hence, because there is nothing worse than going through a door which the Lord is not there with you. The hymn writer says, does he not, I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Seek that to be the, as it were, the motto of your life. And if you're found in a pathway which could separate you from the Lord, flee from it. Shun it. Because God Almighty always gives far more than he takes. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And what about that trial, as it were, that you may have had for many years? You may have for many years waited for that door to open. You've seen other people have deliverances, but you have not yet had that deliverance. Here's the Lord's word to you this morning. Yet will I not forget thee. You might feel that he's forgotten you. But he hasn't. You look at all those many long years that Abraham and Sarah waited for the birth of a child. And no child came. And how they must have got discouraged many, many times. But you know, when God's time came, Sarah did have a son. And now the descendants of Sarah are more numerous than any other nation upon earth. Why? Because of God's promise. I will surely return to thee at the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. And of course, through that seed eventually came our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But the point is, they had to wait many long years for that child. And it is quite clear from Sarah's reaction that she'd given up. But God hadn't given up. God hasn't given up on you either, whatever deliverance you are waiting for. In his own good time, God will perform for you. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But then may you be enabled to encourage yourself this morning, not just in the providential way of life, but what about more importantly, the way of grace? You see, whatever providential deliverances he may give you, they must one day end. Whatever providential blessings he may give you, one day he will take them from you. Death will bring to an end all our providence. And if death visited you this morning, would it take everything from you? Would you have nothing? You see, David here, facing possible certain death, I've no doubt whatsoever that part of his encouragement was he knew that the Lord was his shepherd, and he knew that even if it was the Lord's will not to deliver him but to allow him to be stoned, he had a God in heaven. He had a place in heaven waiting for him. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You may say to me this morning, how can I be encouraged when I feel the greatness of my sins? You're looking in the wrong place. You're never going to be encouraged by looking at your sins. Nor does God intend you to be either. You are never going to be encouraged by realizing that you are not going to be any better in the future as you have been in the past. If you are going to get encouragement, you've got to look in the right place for it. And David here came to that place, the Lord his God. Nowhere else could be encouraging for him. So when Satan tells you you're a great sinner, say to him, true, Satan. But Christ died for the ungodly. Doesn't that bring you in? Are you not ungodly? Can you get lower than that? Can you not plead that Christ died for the ungodly? And therefore ask God to show you that he died for you? Can you not encourage yourself that Christ died, we are told, for the chiefest of sinners? You can't get lower than that, the chiefest, the worst sinner that has ever lived. And so you can come to God as that chiefest sinner. And you can tell him that you are the most unworthy of his love and of his care and of his kindness. And you'll prove, you know, that what we said earlier, the God of miracles still lives. He still performs that greatest of all miracles. When he brings that pardon for sin. When he brings that peace where before there was bitterness. where before there was no rest, where before there was great turmoil, when he says, peace be still, there will be a great calm, and Satan will not be able to stir up the waves. You say that you feel your heart is so hard. You would love the Saviour, but you feel the very opposite. But God, by his Holy Spirit, is able to give you that love that you feel to need. Ask him, therefore, to fill you with such a love to him. Ask him to make him precious to you. And then what about that besetting sin that you so often gets you down because you so often fall? Well, ask the Lord when you're tempted to commit that sin to give you such a glimpse of a suffering Saviour. And it causes you to flee from that sin. Earlier this week, I heard a minister of the gospel ask a question, and it went right down into my soul. Now, friend, ask God Almighty to bring this question into your heart when you are tempted with that sin that you are so often grieved that you commit and you know you shouldn't commit. The question was this: did Jesus suffer on Calvary's cross for you to continue in that sin? Friend, that is how you are going to overcome. Not looking to Sinai, looking to Calvary. Not, you won't be delivered by a slavish fear of hell, but by a view of a Saviour suffering for you, and that out of love to him, he will give you a love that is stronger than that natural love that you have for that sin. Those of you who have that hope in the Lord's mercy, it would be a good thing if before you do anything or say anything, you ask yourself that question: did Jesus suffer for you? For you to do or say the thing you're about to do or to say. And those of you who feel this morning, you say, well, I cannot say with confidence that he suffered for me. Ask God to bring you to that point. As a hymn writer came to, on the wings of faith uprising, Jesus crucified I see, while his love my soul surprising cries, I suffered all for thee. Only God can bring you there. But he still has that power to bring you there, and he still is bringing souls there, even in this day and in this generation. He still has that power to forgive sins. He still has that power to give you more grace. He still has that power to give you more faith. He still has that power to rekindle that love to him that once you knew. He still has that power to keep you from falling. And he has that power to restore you when you do fall, as he did with David in this circumstance. God Almighty is as strong today as he was when he spake this world into existence. And so as you face the unknown way, may you be able to look up, to thank God, and to take courage. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David has gone home to glory, but David's God still lives. David's God still performs. David's God still reigns. And he reigns, child of God, on your behalf, casting all your care upon him. You are going to continue to prove in the future, as you have in the past, that he still cares for you. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £750, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. And on Wednesday, there will be the wedding of our friends Elizabeth and Nathan. And we are also very sorry that the Gospel Standard magazines have not yet arrived. Hopefully they'll be here by Tuesday. Let us close with hymn 980. When sins and fears prevailing rise, and fading hope almost expires, Jesus, to thee I lift my eyes, to thee I breathe my soul's desires. 980.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, be with us and remain now and forever. Amen.